Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines, can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
Welcome into the Jump Around Extra. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Pablo Iglesias. Pablo, you and I are getting a lot of time together because we were on the air last night,
yeah,
as the news broke that Chris McIntosh is now, and maybe as of currently, a former athletic director for the University of Wisconsin. This is his last day as the athletic director for the University of Wisconsin. And you know what? 1 o'clock on your last day of work, you might end up just stepping out. But we'll have to wait and see on that. But Wisconsin athletic director Chris McIntosh is resigning his position immediately and will join the Big Ten at the newly created Deputy Commissioner for Strategy position. And right now, Wisconsin Deputy AD COO Marcus Sedbury will likely be named Interim AD. And it is a weird time, Pablo, because the University of Wisconsin does not have a chancellor, as Mnookin's on her way out. And that has to be figured out. I know they said in the interim that the interim chancellor will handle this. This is a lot of interims for some big-time hires. Riley Yauch behind the glass. And I want to start with this, as it is surprising news. And a lot of people, rightfully so, are saying that Chris McIntosh jumped ship. I saw today that Tauscher was laughing at that. Nobody I talked to was sad about this. It's about 10 people. Didn't physically talk, but I texted a lot of people who were in and around the program. And nobody was like, oh no, what are we going to do without Chris McIntosh?
Yeah, it's even last night, too, when we had the reaction episode, we had at least seven people, maybe. We had Evan Cohen who jumped on, and Brad Nortman, Ben Brust. It just doesn't sound like that anybody is necessarily sad, more so. But I appreciate what Mark Tauscher said earlier today on Wilde and Tauscher, and I feel like I'm on the same boat as him. As much as I don't know how great I felt about the quick tenure that Chris McIntosh had, I still feel from the big picture future standpoint, or even just what the road ahead looks like, yes, it's time to bring in a new face, but there are a lot of steps, and besides just hiring this athletic director role, there are a lot of different steps that the university needs to take in order to get to a point where we hope that we could save what feels like a sinking ship right now.
Right. And so, Pablo, you were not, what are we going to do when you saw that McIntosh left, correct?
Correct. Yeah, okay. That's where I'm at.
Riley?
No. I was definitely not, oh, no, Chris McIntosh is gone. I'm devastated.
So the first thought that came to my mind when I heard this was, I wonder if there's a smoking gun with the litigation against him in the University of Wisconsin. That was my first thought, because it just seemed abrupt. And I'll be honest, I didn't think anyone was going to hire Chris McIntosh. I didn't think of basically doing the equivalent to go work for a government. He already is working a government job, so he went working for the state government to the federal government in this analogy, staying in government jobs. He didn't leave for less money, so he got out of Dodge, and I'm sure he got paid more money now for this new position, which is interesting. It has strategic in it, because we talked to Jim Polzine last week on Thursday, and I don't think any of us came away thinking that the athletic department would be described as strategic. Maybe the best thing we could say about the athletic department currently under Chris McIntosh in their NIL funding efforts was that they were ambitious, or they were hopeful, or they're finally maybe doing the right things. That was probably the best thing that we could say, Pablo. You can kind of respond to that, and I want to hear, we're going to have the audio of Jim Polzine saying that. So, Pablo, you can respond first.
Yeah, really for me is just I guess it's just what confuses me, or yeah, I guess, like I said, it's just kind of processing the whole thing. But again, just with where we're at in terms of like just catch up, and it coincidentally enough from the actually earlier today, what Jim Polzin had even put out too from a column was that Chris McIntosh's first day was also coincidentally the same time that NIL started. And it just always felt like the catch up, which is what Jim Polzin will be talking about, or we'll play that clip in just a little bit. But really, again, what Jim had said, I don't know if it boosted any confidence in me by any means, and it just makes me even worried. That's where I just stand again, like from the overlook, or like just how this looks, what this looks like for the future.
Let's hear from Jim Polzin.
You know, there's nobody knows how much anybody's getting paid, and I also think, I think people think it's a year to year, everything's the same year to year. No, I think every year the number just keeps getting bigger, and Wisconsin's got to grow its number. But even if Wisconsin grows its number, so is Illinois, so is Michigan, so is Indiana. And I think Wisconsin's still kind of in chase mode. And that's, I don't see that getting fixed. I don't see that changing.
And yeah. And to the credit, I mean, well, not even really to McIntosh's credit. Yes, it's not just like every program has not been successful. We've still seen national championships and national title runs, but it's not like that those are the teams and those are the coaches that Chris McIntosh necessarily brought in, outside of Mike Hastings that brought Wisconsin men's hockey to the national championship. But to what Jim had said there too, again, just being in chase mode, it always felt like that. You know, you hoped that Wisconsin got its footing at some point, but even then, we said when the note that came out of we're going to take a new step in the NIL world and do this new revolutionary thing, it's like, again, don't reinvent the wheel, but Wisconsin decided to try to reinvent the wheel anyway and go with the square type of format, which that's not going to work. Like, if you're doing this like year three, year four into the mix, then clearly you're very much already behind.
So let's transition off of Mac and his new position and that he's not strategic at all. And I guess we might have to give him one piece of credit for being strategic. Did he strategically get off the Titanic early?
Yes.
Kind of feels like it.
100%. This totally feels like Chris McIntosh doesn't believe in the future of Wisconsin athletics, and I'm not trying to besmirch him as a person. I don't know what he's thinking, but from the outside, it looks like that he sees his biggest hire in Luke Fickle struggling to succeed. He sees multiple controversies that he has let happen. He sees Olympic sports, wrestling struggling, track isn't going to have a proper facility to train in once the new Kellner Athletic Hall or whatever it's called will be finished. And he decided, you know what? Things aren't great. We're already behind. I can't fix it. I'm going to get out of here and go to a very stable position where I'm sure he's not going to be looking over his shoulder for his job, whereas...
Yeah, how are you even judging this
exactly
job? Like, he's got a lifetime job.
This was created, too, not specifically for McIntosh.
It might have been. We don't know.
It could have been. But all we know is that this is a brand new position that was created, too, which feels a little fishy to that
point. Is just odd. And whereas if he had stayed as the athletic director of the Wisconsin Badgers and Luke Fickle and the football team goes out and puts up another 4-8 season, he's gone. So now, like, it's just very convenient timing for Chris McIntosh and very inconvenient timing for everyone else at the University of Wisconsin.
So I agree. And maybe the Badgers aren't the Titanic because that one didn't end well. But remember the movie Flight? With Denzel Washington?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
So, as the plane goes down, this would be the equivalent of Denzel Washington saying peace and getting off the plane instead of landing it where, you know, the plane and some people survived. And Mac is jumping off the ship. Whatever metaphor you want to use, Mac is not taking ownership of his decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to look at it in any other way than McIntosh found a way out of Dodge to make more money, save face, and not have to face the consequences for a so far terrible hire at the football. Or I should say this: on paper, Luke Fickle has been a terrible decision because we could have done this with Paul Christ and not wrote a fat check to bring in Luke Fickle. We could have been inept in NIL and missed bowl games with Paul Chryst. And maybe we've done more, maybe we've done less, but what's less? I mean, we're not making bowl games. What's even the point of rolling it out there? So, and that's not a high bar. So Mac screwed up the Paul Chryst situation because you moved off of him and you didn't get a clear upgrade. Whether that's because Paul Chryst wasn't the problem and it was you and your inability to create an NIL fund and, mm-hmm. and know how to do this. Again, as we talked to Jim Polzin, the Badgers were years behind in creating the varsity, the collective. So is that on Mac? Is that on Chryst? Mac decided it was on Chryst and needed to bring in Luke Fickell, who I think had right intentions and probably is a good football coach, but is clearly struggling how to compete in this NIL era. I hope Luke Fickell turns it around. But let's be honest, Luke Fickell's probably going to have to win 8 games next year for the new AD to keep for Fickell to keep his job.
I don't even know if 8 games will boat it. I think
8 makes it hard to fire him. I agree with you, but 8 makes it tough. With this schedule, you got to get 8, and at least it's a little bit sticky. Honestly, 8 probably leads to...
8, you're in that in-between
area. The best-case scenario, though, because then Fickell probably can go get himself another job, and Wisconsin will be like, okay. And then everyone saves face. Wisconsin doesn't have to cut him a check, and they get a new coach, and Fickell can go somewhere else.
Yeah, but we talked about this yesterday on the immediate reaction show on what would your thought process be? How would you feel right now if you were Luke Fickell getting this news? And yesterday I said he would be determined and ready to prove to Wisconsin fans, the new athletic director, everyone that he is still the guy here for the University of Wisconsin. He is still an elite head coach in college football. And while I still believe that, the more I've been thinking about it, like, you also have to be irate if you're Luke Fickell. Like, this was your guy. This is the dude who backed you 2 or 3 times last season. He was in your corner when everything was at its darkest. And then who up and leaves? Who abandoned ship? It's him, Chryst McIntosh, the guy who is supposedly all in on Luke Fickell. I would just be incredibly frustrated if I was in that position. And I hope that he continues, or I guess he continues what he started here in Luke Fickell, and that he proves Mac wrong for leaving and has a spectacular season this year for football.
Yeah, it's you hit it right on the head, Riley, and it might be nice to know that Marcus Edberry is going to be in the temporary role for the time being, but even
if
then,
you're Fickell, as a fan.
For Fickell. Let me think for clarifying that too. It's just a strange spot because, again, you want to make sure that you, get Wisconsin, not even back to bowl eligibility, because if you win 6 games, I feel you're gone.
With a new AD,
like,
you're
that's
out.
New AD, it's like, okay, this is the right time for us to move forward. And you know what? I said this last night, too. It's still Luke Fickell. I think the idea is coach your ass off. There's no other way to put it. Go in there and show that this is why, like, whatever it is. Like, if you can prove that the guys that you brought in from the transfer portal, and don't even think about the next class that's coming in. You have to only focus. It's as tough as it is, you need to just have tunnel vision right now, because you got to focus on this year and go big on this season. Because, again, you were coaching for your job anyway. And it felt like that this was a tumultuous year. This felt like that this needed to be a big season for them anyway. And now you're already doing it without a guy who had to back you up twice. Twice within the last year at the very least. Mm. So it's such an odd thing. And even then, like you said too, if there's other opportunities out there, it's not like a 6, 7, 8 win season is going to get you a job anywhere. It'll get you a job, but you still got to show that you are the coach that got you to Wisconsin for that reason if you want to take that next step.
So let's take the next step in this conversation of who do you want to replace Mac? Not a name, because this is too hard. The archetype.
Yeah.
And some people have thrown out J.J. Watt, Joe Thomas. That's not an athletic director's job.
Maybe a GM?
And maybe people are confused to what a GM and what an athletic director is. An athletic director has to run an entire program. It is a lot to handle at a bare minimum. You do not have to be someone, and I know it's a different day and age, you don't have to be someone coming in from college athletics to be able to be good at it. Just look at Pat Richter, who was, I believe, the president of Oscar Mayer, who came in here at the request of Donna Shalala and came in here and fixed Wisconsin. I mean, the godfather, everyone calls Barry, like, then Pat's the architect. I mean, he's the one that he's the architect. He created this whole thing. And Pat Richter was someone that came in from the business world. Now, obviously, he was a three varsity athlete, three sport letterman at Wisconsin, varsity in three different sports, baseball, football. I'm going to forget the other one, but an all-time great here. So he understood what athletics meant, played in the NFL, and then worked in the business world. To me, that's the type of guy you want. I don't want a repeat, and this is with all due respect to Barry, but Barry is like a one of one. And what Barry did, and if you can bring in another Barry Alvarez, great. But that's harder to find than the next Pat Richter. Because Barry Alvarez did what he did so much based on, obviously, talent and smarts, but also just full-on bravado and confidence. And Pat had it in a different way. But I think if you have someone who'd come in here, some sort of mix of Pat Richter and Barry Alvarez, as far as someone who understands the business world, like Pat Richter, understands the college athletics world, like Barry Alvarez, not saying that either one didn't understand the other side of it, but with the expertise in college athletics that Barry had, with the expertise that Pat had being a president of a big company in Oscar Mayer, and combine those two. And I don't care if they have ties to Wisconsin or not. I don't want anyone in this NIL administration, in this football administration, I don't want any of them considered for this job, or at least realistically, if they need to do a courtesy interview, fine. They need to make every single person in the athletic department's administration / NIL re-interview for their jobs to explain why they deserve their job and why they should keep it. That's best case scenario. I'm fine if they came through and just cleaned house. And I'm not saying that because I want these people to lose their jobs. I'm saying it because that's why I prefer the interview for your job. Because maybe it was an air of bad leadership. And so if you're in the NIL and you weren't doing a great job, but you weren't coached and you weren't properly trained to do that great job, fine. We'll slot you. Maybe you go down over a title, you stay around, and we'll train you up. But they have to come in with their people, their systems. And that's why I want someone with either ties to business, who understands organizational structure that can run things, or I want someone, and let's be honest, we're not going to get someone's number, I guess a number one from a school that's tiered technically quote-unquote below us, or a number two from a school that's quote-unquote like above us. Like if you can pull the number one from, I'm trying to think of a school that is kind of, let's say you pull the number one from Northwestern. I'm just using them as an example, not that they're a beacon of great.
They're like sports. James Madison made the college football playoff.
Okay. Yeah, so great. You pull the athletic director from there, pull them up. Or you pull the number two from Indiana or some of the Ohio State, and you go find the number two from these programs that are successful in revenue-generating sports, because that's what matters. Because give Mac credit, at least on this. I know some people don't want to do anything. Look, he didn't touch volleyball. They were winning. He didn't have to touch volleyball. He didn't touch volleyball. They won. Women's hockey, he didn't touch. They won. He gave them the tools to continue to win. I know he didn't make those hires, but he at least did those things. So you got to give him credit for that. It sounds weird, but like people could come in and make bad decisions. And then obviously his second hire for women's basketball seems like a step in the right direction. And Hastings with hockey is doing a great job. So it wasn't a disaster, but the thing is, none of those are revenue-generating sports. So you're still going to be judged on that. So you got to get someone who has experience in the NIL with running revenue-generating sports, along with keeping our non-revenue-generating sports top tier.
Yeah, I was on the fence of, I would have loved, and maybe it feels like it's a little bit of a stretch to make it a requirement to have Wisconsin ties, because you just never know who's out there, who the candidates are. But I do agree with the strong business ties and a successful business tie too. But what I would like is that, I mean, Barry Alvarez technically was an outsider when he came in. He was from the Notre Dame coaching tree. He was part of that. And then they brought him in. I mean, he went to Nebraska too. So it's like, again, it's not like that he... he definitely knew of Wisconsin. He knew of the Badgers program. He knew what it was. He knew, heck, there's a reason why he took the job when he did. But again, if I'm looking at it from that side, and I know it was he was brought in, you know, be hired as the head coach, I still kind of like look at that as a different parallel too. Of you can still bring somebody from the outside, but again, from that strong business tie, and heck, even somebody that really really knows what Wisconsin's culture and identity is, and also want somebody who's has the interpersonal ties too, who has those is able to go out there and fundraise and build those relationships and build those connections, because it felt like right off the jump. And even from what we've heard, too, is that there were still some criticisms. Like, what I remember with Luke Fickell made the full tour when he was hired. He was going to Milwaukee. He was going to different cities. Like, that was big. That was very big, especially in a time where you're already trying to convince new donors, new fans all across the state that this is the place that you want to help succeed. Keep doing that. If that person comes in with a fully fleshed out plan, or at least knows is strategic and is innovative and is not just an ideas person, but also somebody that can make it happen, that's what I want. So again, I move away from it has to be somebody who had Wisconsin ties from the beginning. No, I'm going to push that away and say they still need to understand what Wisconsin is all about and have a clear idea of what the identity was and how they can keep pushing it and innovate it towards the future.
Riley, before we wrap it up, let's get your thoughts on that too. What do you want in a future athletic director?
Yeah, I don't want them to necessarily have Wisconsin ties. I just want them to be able to embrace Wisconsin and what it means to be a Badger. That doesn't mean you have to be from the state. That doesn't mean, it definitely does not mean, and it shouldn't mean you do things how we've always been doing them, which is why I almost lean, again, I don't have any names. I don't have any people off the top of my head, but sort of maybe a younger athletic director, someone who's sort of a hot shot. I just want someone who is personable and at the cutting edge of college athletics right now, who is at the forefront of innovation in the NIL era. Because what did we hear from Jim Polzin? What have we been talking about? Wisconsin is stuck in the old ways. They've been playing catch up for so long. I want someone to flip that on its head and move Wisconsin, similar to Indiana or a Texas Tech, at the forefront. I don't care where they come from, who they are, as long as they embrace Wisconsin, know what they're doing, and are at the forefront of innovation in this new era of college athletics, I will be happy. And I think this opportunity, Max stepping away, could be the best thing to ever happen to Wisconsin athletics since Barry Alvarez was hired. If they get this right, it could put Wisconsin in a position we've never seen them before and better than we could ever expect.
Right. How connected do you, as a UW alum too, mm-hmm. part of this group, how connected do you feel currently right now to the athletics program, to the athletic department, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very connected. I mean, this is my job. I get to cover Wisconsin sports. It's awesome. I interned at the athletic department, so I feel very connected. I have nothing personally against anyone in the building whatsoever, but I want to see Wisconsin athletics succeed. And I want them to do what is necessary to put winning products on the field. And I, as a fan, want to feel appreciated and that my opinion has a little bit of weight, not totally, but I don't think that's been a massive priority for this current administration either. Like, look at the bricks. Look at that. Like, how do you bungle that and moving them and all that jazz? Like, I feel connected, but I know for a fact there are a lot of people who don't.
Yeah, the Badgers need someone who understands public relations.
Yes.
Understands outreach in every sense of the word. Riley, I think you said it great. This is an opportunity. In mm-hmm. this case, change is an opportunity. And I know we're focusing on football. I'm not ignoring the women's side of things here with volleyball and with hockey and obviously the men's team as well. The hope is the new athletic director would not look a gift horse in the mouth and say, hey, we're keeping this, obviously. So it's a matter of can we fix what's broken?
Mm-hmm.
And part of what's broken, I think, a little bit is Badger basketball's budget. So that would be another thing that hopefully can be figured out. Pablo, great job. Riley, thank you. This has been the Jump Around Extra, talking more about Chris McIntosh stepping down as the athletic director for the University of Wisconsin.